You are listening to a season review edition of Pro Football Weekly, and we begin our season review in the AFC East and South divisions with Associate Editor Matt Sohn. And Matt, you take a look at the AFC East, and obviously the New England Patriots remain formidable, and no question about that. Buffalo Bills showed some progress. The Jets went from playoffs at 10-6 to 4-12. The Miami Dolphins, though they have new ownership or new management under the current ownership, Bill Parcells steps in, but a 1-15 team, a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a division where it's really the three big guys. And, of course, it all starts with the New England Patriots. This was a team that was obviously on the verge of perfection going into the Super Bowl, and they lost that game. And this is a very distraught bunch. And I tell you what, there's a lot of concern right now in New England surrounding this team. You got Randy Moss, who's going to be a free agent. Asante Samuel, they cannot slap the franchise on him for a second straight year. Their linebackers are getting older. So there's some considerable concern going into the offseason with New England. But that being said, you go 16-0, you obviously have a great nucleus intact, and this was really a team that thrived this year in a record-setting offense, a defense that was a little bit overshadowed, but still a tremendous, tremendous effort. Bill Belichick, very deserving of his Coach of the Year honors. Tom Brady, very deserving of his MVP honors. A standout season for the Patriots that, unfortunately for them, ended on a bit of a sour note.
You know, you could really argue, Matt, that the Buffalo Bills are the only team in this division whose arrow is definitely pointing up at this point.
Oh, absolutely, and the Bills have a lot to hang their hat on. This was a team that operated most of the season with a rookie quarterback in Trent Edwards, a rookie running back in Marshawn Lynch, and they really had quite a few interesting games, and I think surprised a lot of people with the way that they were able to turn around the season after really a disastrous 0-3 start. People were saying that this was one of the worst teams in the league, and quite frankly, if you look at their personnel, especially on defense, this was a very undermanned team. They fought through a lot of injuries, and they really demonstrate a whole lot of heart. The Bills have a lot to be excited about going forward. Obviously, there's some concern about where the long-term projection for the franchise is, but that being said, for the time being, with a young offense and a young offensive coordinator now in Turk Schonert, it is definitely a team on the upswing.
You know, when you also look at the New York Jets in their situation, talk a little bit about them, and where do they go from here? I mean, from Eric Mangenius to Eric Mangini to a little less than that, where are they at?
Yeah, I tell you what, Wayne, right now, the big concern in New York, I think you got to look at the lines, the offensive and defensive lines, and you look at the defense to start with. They do not have the personnel to operate the 3-4 system that Mangini favors. All the guys were brought in to play the 4-3 under Herm Edwards. So there's a lot of mixing and matching going on with the personnel right now that doesn't really fit the system. Offensively, you got Kellen Clemens in there, who they think is going to be the quarterback of the future. But then again, general manager Mike Tannenbaum insists that he wants to bring in back Chad Pennington for another year. I don't know if I see it happening. I think it's kind of a long shot, but there's a lot of intrigue surrounding this team right now. They have some talent at receiver. They got some very speedy options. They got some young offensive linemen who can be good, but that being said, this is a team that needs to delve into the salary cap, and they do have quite a bit of it this offseason for the upgrades. But Eric Mangini, the collar is getting a little bit tighter, certainly after his barnstorming start in 2006.
Matt, no end of excitement in Miami with Bill Parcells and Jeff Ireland and the crew, but the bottom line is they're taking over by you know, long shot, the worst team in the National Football League, and even though they've got the number one overall pick, they got a lot of work to do.
They got a ton of work to do, and I don't think that they want to stay in that number one pick. Bill Parcells, he wants to move down because he knows that at this roster, defensively, offensively, especially when you look, again, at the lines, at the linebackers, a ton of progress that needs to be made. But he got the right steps in place by getting Tony Sparano in place there as head coach. Jeff Ireland, he knows personnel. They're going to get it done. It's going to take some time, though. There is so much to be done with this franchise. You can't expect an overnight project to help rectify the situation. But quarterback is certainly one of the big issues. You got John Beck, who's going into his second year. He was miserable as a rookie last year. And what do you do for the future? But certainly when you look back at the season, an unmitigated disaster in Miami. Cam Cameron fell flat on his face in his first season as an NFL head coach. And there's a bit of a sour taste in the mouths of the Miami faithful right now, and they're certainly hoping to rectify that going forward.
Matt, let's move into the AFC South. Two of your teams, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, both playoff teams, both look very strong. Jacksonville with a new defensive coordinator in Greg Williams. Talk a little bit about their strengths and weaknesses heading into the offseason.
Yeah, the Jaguars are in a very good situation. They're amazingly under the cap, tremendously. I want to say about $30-35 million or so. And so they have money to kind of play around with. And I think the number one thing that they need to do is they need to extend David Garrard. This is a guy in his first season as a full-time starter was absolutely phenomenal. A lot of people think that he should have gone to the Pro Bowl. The offense still does not have the type of stretch receiver that they really need to kind of open up the offense. But defensively, you talk about that, they do have the nucleus in there. I think the problem last year, and the reason that they were kind of in the middle of the rankings was because of a lot of the injuries, but they were the classic bend but don't break, really a phenomenal season in Jacksonville, a season that I think surprised a lot of people, a lot of talent there. You look at that, the linemen with Marcus Stroud and the linebackers Mike Peterson, and in the secondary some amazing talent too. So they have the pieces in place. It's about fortification going forward, and Jacksonville is going to be a team that can certainly challenge Indianapolis for the division crown next season.
And the Colts thrilled to have Tony Dungy back, but what other things do they have to do to get that next step?
Again, it's all about the lines, the offense and the defensive line. Injuries absolutely decimated those units last year, and that's certainly something that they're going to need to make a concerted effort to build around. Now, they took a very necessary step in terms of ensuring the nucleus of the team going forward by extending safety Bob Sanders to a record safety contract, and it was very well deserved. I mean, the guy is probably the most well-versed safety in the league. The next big question is, what are they going to do with Dallas Clark? This is a team that does not have a whole lot of money to play around with. They're probably going to franchise him is what's going to happen, but as long as you got Peyton Manning in there, you're going to be fine. There's going to be a smooth transition to Jim Caldwell whenever that will be, but for the time being, this is Tony Dungy's team, and hey, they are still one of the model franchises in the NFL and will be for a considerably long time going forward.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for that analysis. Hub, also in the AFC South, you've got two teams, Tennessee and Houston, two teams that appear to be on the rise. Tennessee 10-6 this year. They've got some questions as to what to do with the quarterback situation. Norm Chow is out as offensive coordinator, obviously. Houston, meanwhile, 8-8, looks like they're ready to make the next step with a lot of talent on defense.
Tennessee, a surprise playoff team, Wayne. They've got to worry about free agency. A bunch of defensive linemen led by Albert Haynesworth, who I thought maybe was the defensive MVP. Also, defensive ends Travis LeBoy and Antoine Odom are all free agents. They're afraid they could lose Odom. They're almost certainly going to franchise Haynesworth if they can't get a long-term deal done. They've also got offensive guard Jacob Bell and their leading receiver, Justin Gage, and try and get those two guys re-signed. If they can come back with Haynesworth, Gage, and Bell, they'll figure out a way to plug the holes from the other losses. You know, you've got to look at Vince Young and say, how do we make him better? Well, they've got to put some playmakers around him, and so their focus is going to be at wide receiver and probably a change of pace back to supplement Lendell Wade at running back. You look at the Houston Texans, also a surprise at 500 for the first time. They've got not a lot to worry about in free agency. Andre Davis, punter Matt Turk, defensive back Von Hutchins, they're the key guys that they'd like to get back. This is a team that has struggled on the offensive line since its inception, so they went and hired the legendary Alex Gibbs, made him the line coach and assistant head coach to try and fix that offensive line. They'll also look to upgrade the talent in their secondary win.
All right, stay tuned. We've got the AFC West and North divisions coming up when we return to our season review edition of Pro Football Weekly.